Now let us turn once again to the Word of God, to Luke chapter 8. Luke and chapter 8. Let us once again seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we call upon Thee that Thou wouldst bless Thy Word to us. Help us, O Lord, to hear it in a way that we have not heard it before. Let us, Lord, to take in Thy Word, even speak to us and open it to us in a way that the preacher cannot. Lord, we ask that we may not be sermon hearers only, but may our lives be transformed by Thy Spirit and then live for Thee day by day to Thy glory. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. The verses that I want us to consider this morning are verses 8 and 15 of Luke 8. Verses 8 and 15. We read in this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ about the sowing of the seed, and other seed fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then the interpretation is this in verse 15, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." In the parable of the sower, as we have seen before, there are a number of different kinds of grounds that are described. Four types of grounds or soil on which the seed is sown. But only it is the last one that actually is fruitful. It is only the last one that there can be a harvest. It is the last one that people look upon and see, this is a good ground. It's not dry. And whatever has grown hasn't died, but it is fruitful. It is alive. Something's happening. And it is not alive of weed, of thorns, of thistles. It's good things that are growing in it. That's what we see. And as we have seen in the past weeks, it's a parable about people. It's about how people receive the gospel and how people receive the word of God. It's a spiritual parable. And every one of us sitting here this morning, we can find ourselves as being at least one of those. Possibly three of those. But not four of those. You can be something of the first three grounds. Some of that can be in your life. Part of your life is very barren. Part of it is just nothing is growing at all. Some part of it is full of thorns and thistles. But there are others who the seed of the word of God and the gospel has fallen into that ground, and it is now fruitful. Now the fruit of it may not be exactly what you want it to be, but it is bearing some fruit. There is some life there. And that's what we will see. And as I said, a parable is, in the original, it means it is things that are put side by side to compare. So the Lord wants us to compare our life with what He says in this parable, in this story. It's not an illustration about the proportion of people who respond in a congregation. It's not saying, let's cut up people into, or the numbers, not people, the numbers who are there into four equal portions and then divide them up. These are the fruit bearers. These are the stony ground hearers. These are the wayside ones. We don't do that. You have to ask yourself the questions and answer them. The Lord is speaking about different kinds of responses. And the Lord was speaking here, not just to the multitude who had gathered, but the disciples were hearing it. So it is something for Christians to listen to as well. And the Lord gave this parable as the preparation of his disciples, that to know what they are going to expect for the future. It is not going to be the case that they would go into places and they would preach and then there would be a line of people who have come to believe in Jesus Christ. He's saying to them, this is what you are to expect. There are different kinds of responses to the preaching of this message. This is the thing that is going to await you. Do not be discouraged, but press on. Press on. You don't know the ground. I know the ground. Press on preaching. And so, for those of you who are serving the Lord in some capacity, remember this. Be encouraged by this parable. For those of you parents who are trying to sow the seed of the gospel into your family's lives, be encouraged. Continue sowing. Trust in Him. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to not just send forth laborers, to till the ground of the hearts of those that you're trying to reach, and also your own heart. The farmer has cast the seed, and when it falls on the good ground, it comes up. Well, it happened with the other two as well. It happened, the same seed fell into the ground of the thorny ground. It fell into the rocky ground. They both came up as well. But there's something different here. There's something drastically different here. The good ground receives that seed correctly, rightly. This is how we ought to receive the seed, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how you are to receive every time you open your Bibles, every time you hear a message from the Bible. How do you receive it? The farmer is casting the seed. When it falls on the good ground, it comes up and it produces a crop. It produces a fruitful crop, a wonderful crop. Luke says that he only mentions hundredfold. 100%. It's all completely fruitful. If you read the other accounts, Mark tells us some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. And the Lord explains this in verse 15, explains what it is. And that the only way to be converted, the only way to come to know God is to receive the gospel simply, honestly, genuinely, sincerely. That word honest heart, it means a sincere heart. It's not holding back. It doesn't have anything, ifs or buts. It's an honest heart. It's sincere. It's been humbled. And it's that kind of a reception of the gospel. Then it is, the seed falls, and then it becomes fruitful, spiritually fruitful. Maybe that's the problem. Some of us, we are not spiritually being fruitful. Outwardly, people might see and say, well, they come to church. Well, they do this and that. But you yourself know, spiritually speaking, if your life was going to be cut down short today and you have to appear before God, what will you say to God? What kind of spiritual fruit do you have? Now, to understand this parable, and as in the past, we have to look at the ground itself. It says that the ground is good. It is a good ground. That's the first point I have. It's a good ground. So in verse 8, and other fell on good ground. The seed itself was good. The seed is the word of God, the scripture says. The Lord Jesus Christ explained it in verse 15 and said, the seed is good because it is God's word. And it is heavenly. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a good news. And it is falling. It is falling upon grounds. And the person who is converted has a heart who receives the gospel in the right way. And there is only one way of receiving Jesus Christ and his salvation. It is called good. Why? Was it because of something good in the ground itself? It's because the Word finds it to be good. But how was it made good? Was it always good? Now, let me say to you this. None of us are good. This is not implying that there is any good thing in you or me. This goes against all psychology that is there, all the ideas of man that is there today, that there's something good in everybody. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. There is nobody here who could put their hands up and say, I am a good person. If you say that, the Scripture says we make God a liar. So the Scripture says there is none good. But how can this be good? How can this Word fall upon good ground? How was it made good? Was it always good? And there's a very important truth here. Yes, everyone in this world, spiritually speaking, in the language of the farmer, we could say we have bad ground. Naturally, the ground of my heart, your heart, would be stiff and hard. It is barren and empty, empty of good fruit. In the language of economics, it is bankrupt. There's nothing there in the accounts. In the words of the Apostle Paul, as he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says that the spiritual heart is actually dead, spiritually speaking, dead in trespasses and sins. So where does the spiritual life come from? How can a dead heart live? How can a ground that is barren and hard become a good ground? It must be the work of God. It must be the work of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says that it is God who makes it live. It is God's Holy Spirit that brings to life a dead person. And it is God who comes like a farmer. The farmer has been there beforehand, you see. The farmer has gone before and has gone and tilled the ground and manured it and made it ready to receive it. That's why it is good ground. Imagine it in the farming. Have you ever tried to plant some seed? You say, well, I'm going to plant some seed today. And you go in, you don't have any spades. You don't have anything with you, any tools. You just have a bag of seed. So I'm just going to go and cast my seed on the ground. And you tell your friends, this is what I'm going to do. I've got an allotment and I will be doing that. And everyone will be coming to watch you. How will you do that? How? It is an amazing thing. They've never seen a farmer who goes out to sow the seed but doesn't actually do anything on the ground to prepare it beforehand. And all you will get then are wheat that will grow. The wheat grows anywhere, any place. It finds a little crack and it begins to, you see it, don't you? So the reason it is good, the only reason is because God was already there working. God was already there working. And so when the seed was cast, it was already prepared. So do you see the grace of God in this? Say to the Lord, with all honesty, say to the Lord, pray to God, Lord, prepare the ground of my heart. Because I won't respond well. I won't respond well to this word. Maybe children, that is why you've not been praying that God would prepare your heart. Maybe you didn't even, those of us here gathered here, did you spend 2 minutes this morning asking God to bless the preaching of the word of God to you? Did you spend 2 minutes? Did you spend 1 minute? With all the rush that takes place and how it is, Sunday mornings are the busiest for especially families, rushing here and there, trying to get prepared and so on, and not find a spare minute to seek the Lord. And then we say, well, why didn't it have any effect? Maybe we need to change the preacher. Maybe we need to have a better person who will preach better. The seed was the same. The seed was good. It doesn't matter who the farmer is. If it is the word of God that is being sown, The issue is the heart, the ground of the heart. And the farmer can't do, or the preacher can't prepare your heart. You must seek the Lord that God would transform you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You want to know the Holy Spirit, you pray that God would prepare your heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, preparing hearts. So that when the gospel is sent forth, it is not falling upon stiff hearts, hard hearts, unrepentant hearts, unbelieving hearts, shallow hearts, worldly hearts. But God has been preparing. So, what should happen in a heart that is not prepared? Maybe this morning you say, my heart is not prepared. Bad things must be removed. Stones must be cast away. Good things must replace it. You must seek the Lord. Lord, remove these bad things. Remove these worldly things. Remove these thorns and all of the weed that is growing there. All the poison that is there. All the hardness. Lord, remove it. You see, my friends, the case is not just bad. It is spiritually, desperately bad. We can't affect ourselves, friends, to become good. We can't successfully get rid of the spiritual poison that is killing the seed or the plant. But God, the Holy Spirit, the good farmer, removes the bad things of the heart. And praise God for that. So you're not left by yourself this morning. I'm not telling you that you are the one who must save yourself. I'm saying you must seek the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm saying that you must cry to Him out of desperation. I'm saying to you something that is not politically correct. It's not accepted. I'm saying your heart, my heart is bad naturally. And you need the Lord. I need the Lord. And then another thing is this, that the farmer must do, what he must do is to prepare the ground to successfully receive and produce the good fruit. He must be doing this, and he does that, and the Lord does that as we cry to Him, and that is what makes the ground good. I've already mentioned these things. God makes an empty and barren ground. And you might have thought in the last few messages, you've said, yes, I am the first one. And then you heard the second one, you are the second one too. And then you heard the second message, you're the third one as well. What is going to happen? Is this the end? Have we now given you a psychological title? This is your title for the rest of your life. For example, this is what happens, isn't it, oftentimes in today's world. They give you a title. That's the phobia that you have. That's the condition that you have. And then that sticks with you. And then you can take it out. It's your card. When you do something that is awful and say, well, you know, I have this condition. Now, I'm not making light of these things. I'm not saying these things don't exist, but I'm saying this is oftentimes used in our day to explain some behavior that could be corrected, and it is sinful behavior. But so I'm not giving you a title and say, well, that's you just go around and say, I'm a wayside hearer, you know. I just can't do anything about it. I'm not the good hearer. I don't have a good heart. I don't receive, and that's me for the rest of my life. I'm saying this is not the end. Friends, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good for those who are hard-hearted, for those whose life is full of worldliness and sin, for those who are full of religion and full of religious practices and ceremonies, and they love those things, and yet they're unconverted. It is for the Pharisees. Tonight we will see that what the law of God is for and for who it is, and it is a good thing. And so I'm saying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to transform each one of us and make us to be good grounds, receptive grounds. So there's no dead end here. There is hope here that we are preaching. Do you see this? Without this work of God's grace in our hearts, then we are left lost. So the issue is much deeper than the other types of the soils. Those others who heard the good news, those other people who heard the good news about salvation in Jesus Christ, They heard it, yes. They heard the same message, yes. But they didn't want it. And if they wanted it, it was such received in such a shallow and worldly way that it did not produce any fruit. They didn't really desire it. It didn't really take hold upon them, and they didn't take hold upon it. It had no effect. It didn't have any lasting effect. So what's the condition of our hearts? Praise God. I've said it, and I keep repeating it. There's hope in this. This good hearer, this good heart, I said, it's been made good by God. It's been God working upon it. But then what's the quality of it? What does it do? It says this again, going back to it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And verse 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. He keeps it, it says. He keeps what is heard in the memory. He keeps it and meditates upon what I have just heard, this message of salvation in Jesus Christ. How does it apply to me? Am I one of those who have received the gospel? Am I one of those who are saved? Or am I still lost? So he begins to meditate on it, thinks on it, applies it to self. Doesn't say, well, I wish so-and-so was here to listen to this message. Well, I hope so-and-so, Mrs. so-and-so is listening, or that boy is listening. No, the person is keeping it for themselves. They're hearing it for themselves. And they start to do something about it. They start to live after it. They start to obey and practice what the Lord Jesus Christ commands him to do. There are those who heard the same gospel, but they don't keep. They keep nothing of it. But this one is different. He accepts it from the heart. His heart is affected, not just his ears. His heart is affected. So he has ears in his heart. Is your heart hearing? And then he understands it. This keeping has to do with understanding. Now, my friends, I can tell you stories. I can make you cry. I can tell you things that makes you sad, happy. Tell you jokes that makes you laugh. We can have a band here and play music for you. And it raises your spirits up. We can have all kinds of activities for you. And you might think, because you have those excited feelings or very sad feelings, then it is God speaking to you and that you have received the gospel. My friends, that's the lie of the devil. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you must understand. You take it in. You actually understand, what is the gospel? What does it mean to me? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is God? What is the word of God teaching me? And then that knowledge of it affects you, affects your life, affects your... You receive these facts, but then it affects your soul. It uproots the weed. It transforms your life. These impressions are not impressions, but it is the farmer digging and working upon you. It's not left just for it to settle on the surface. The farmer has been sowing, and he is going planting by his own hands. And he's putting it deep within you and making sure that it is growing. And then it stays. It stays. That's what you see. And at the end of verse 15, it says, and bring forth fruit with patience. That word patience has to do with perseverance. It has to do with something that stays and continues to stay. It won't go. The fruit continues to come forth. Oh, it may not be always 100%, but there's fruit coming forth. That's what we are talking about. It's something radical here. And only the Spirit of God can do that. You can't do it. Now, what are the signs in your life? Are you just moved by your emotions? Are you just excited in some things? Are you made sad in some things? But are the fruits shown? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, peace in believing, love for God, joy in the fact that your sins are forgiven, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Are those the things that the fruit of it shown in your life? These are the things we are talking about. And ultimately, eternal life in Jesus Christ. So here is the fruit, the marks and the qualities. Think about this too, the marks and qualities of a good ground. How may we know that the Holy Spirit has done a work in you? I've already mentioned. But let's think a little more about this. There are a number of things that shows a good ground that God has been working upon. It's not just a self-made ground or something that is just outward. There are all kinds of various degrees presented to every that is present in every born again heart. As I said, Mark tells it and Matthew tells it in the other two Gospels that there are some who have 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold in terms of its harvest. But they all have these marks. It's all the opposite to those on fruitful grounds. One of the things is this. There's something we could say about God in that heart. That good ground wants to know God more and more for himself or herself. Wants to know the Lord. Is not just wanting to be religious. He's not just wanting to move from one thing to another thing. From atheism to some form of Christianity. Or from some form of Christianity to another form of thing. Or whatever, from another religion to Christianity. He's not wanting that. He wants to know the Lord. Wants to know God. Wants to know Him, not just now, but every day, forever. He's not a Sunday Christian. But he's an everyday Christian. That's what he wants. He wants to know the Lord every day. He doesn't compartmentalize his life. This is our problem. This is my problem. Compartmentalizing our life. This is my professional life. This is my family life. This is then my spiritual life. He doesn't do that. He wants the Lord in everything. He wants everyday closeness to God. He wants to be right with God. And he's not bothered about what others might think of him. He's happy in God. He's rejoicing in the Lord. God is the best person in his life. The best friend in his life. As David said in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." There is no one else in the world that I desire beside you, Lord. That's one mark. I just want the Lord. I want to know the Lord. And then, so is that you? Is that boy, girl found in this place? Is that young man, young woman, older man, older woman found in this place? I just want the Lord. Ultimately, this is my desire. I want to walk with Him. I want to know Him day by day. I never get tired of Him. I never get tired of hearing the gospel. And then another thing that is found in that good ground is that we could say something about the Lord Jesus Christ that marks that good ground. The Lord Jesus Christ is that person's hope. They don't just talk about God in general. There's a special regard that they have for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a special love for the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ has died for them. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has given His heart's blood for them. And so they have a special regard for Him. They are wounded when they hear the name of Jesus Christ used in blasphemy. And so it is. He wants to give everything up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else in the world. Is that you? Are you one who counts all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord? Are you counting everything else as dung, as refuse, as rubbish, so that you might know and you might win and you might have the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you? Is that some of that found in you? That person's heart must be then joyful heart, because that's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. He's not a person who's joyful in himself. He's not rejoicing because of worldly things around him, because of his circumstances. He's not rejoicing. He's not happy because of who he is, but in his Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not happy in the worldly joys and the songs that he hears and the excitements and pleasures that a drink might bring. But he's happy in Jesus Christ. That's what he is like. You know what I'm talking about, I trust. You have had taste of the things of this world. You have been some of those who have been hard and you have refused to hear the message of salvation. And you've tasted of some things that you were tempted to taste. That person who is now a good grant, he sees that Jesus Christ is what he's given him, and that Jesus Christ has given himself to him. He's given his life to make him right and good. Is that how you see? Jesus Christ has died for you. Is that you? The good heart has been made good. Wasn't always good. It's been prepared and always has a prepared room for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that precious guest. Always in that heart. Have you had a guest in your house? And you always are aware of that person's presence, don't you? They might be in their room, they might be in the guest room, but you always know that that person's there. And so you try, you say to the children, be quiet, we've got someone in the house, behave, we've got someone in the house. Or you're aware, there's a sense. There is a guest in the house, someone special in the house. It's not just family, it's not just someone ordinary, but a guest is in the house. And Jesus Christ, is he in the house of your life? Has he a room there? Someone precious? Isn't that what the scripture says? That he's always a guest in the heart of the believer? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That Jesus Christ would be sitting there in your heart. The knowledge of his presence. Not everyone's it's privileged to have a guest room. But my friends, have you room for Christ? Is he sitting there? Are you rejoicing? Have you knowledge of him? That person who has a good heart is a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who is being conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's now beginning to rearrange things in the house. You see, the guest is so precious, so special, that he says, I want to make this house a better house for my guest. I'm doing it now for my guest. I want new decoration. I want things to be changed here. Because I have this guest here. That person is a special guest in my house, in my life. And so I will rearrange everything for his honor, for his glory. That's what the Christian does. It's no longer because the guest will leave. No, the guest is there to stay. Praise God for that. Jesus Christ is there to stay. But the Christian who has a good heart, a person whose heart is prepared by God, daily sees, are there things that dishonors my guest? Are there things that dishonors my Lord and Savior? And so that person is constantly changing for good, for the better, not for the worse. He's being conformed. He's listening to the guest. He's becoming more and more like Christ. He's loving the same things. He desires the same things. He will follow Christ's example and not the example that is set by the culture and society. So his language changes. His thinking changes. His heart changes. His clothing changes. His style of living changes. What he watches changes. The people that he is with, it changes. You see, we are talking about a total transformation. We are not talking about just changing the cover on your book. When I was a child, you don't do it in this country, but when I was a child, we would have got new books every year. At the beginning of the year at school, everyone would get new books that would smell nice, that's not written on, nothing. And what we do, the first thing, we would cover it up. Well, in my day, we would have newspapers or some special paper. We would cover it up. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something completely different. A new life. I'm not saying cover your life up. I'm talking about let Jesus Christ transform you. Oh, friends, so much could be said about these things. But I believe you understand these things. I believe that we've said enough, we've thought enough, that you can tell the difference between someone who is hearing faithlessly. It has no impact. It's just falling upon deaf ears, what the preacher says, what the Word of God says, when it is being read in the home, when it is being read in the church or elsewhere. It's falling upon deaf ears. That's faithless believing or reception. That's the first one. You all also know what it is to be a shallow hearer of the gospel. Things will be heard, then you're affected emotionally maybe. You begin to make some changes quickly, but then problems come, busyness of life, it dies out. You've been there, I've been there. And then you know something of the third one, the worldly hearer. Of the one whose life is so entangled with all kinds of things of this world and the pleasures of life and the pursuit of the things of this world that there is no room left for hearing the gospel and receiving it and being transformed by it. But may you be the fourth one as well. You might have experienced all of the rest before, that's come before, but you may experience the fourth one too, that the Lord would come and go to the wayside, dig it out. Then come into the field and go to the parts that are full of stones and are shallow. Take away the stones and fill it with soil. Then go to the other side, it's full of thorns. Take out all of the wheat. Take up all of the thorns. And dig it up. Prepare it. And then to cast the seed, cast the gospel. Tell you of His love. Tell you of His compassion. Tell you of His blood that He shed upon the cross. Tell you of His hatred of sin, but His love for sinners. Are these things true of you? Well, they may be. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And may the Lord have mercy upon us. Amen.